hear Glenn Payne singing it right now. Amen. Some of y'all remember the Cathedral Quartet. I always enjoyed that song. Appreciate it, ladies, very much. We also a couple other prayer requests. Kevin Davis has some tests tomorrow. Remember him in prayer. And remember your church family in prayer throughout the week. And the Lord's good. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Continue our series of messages on the book of Ephesians. And tonight, I basically have no points written down. We're just going to take these verses 8 through 14, and go over them. And I tell you, it's just amazing as you, again, review and look at this book. If you get a chance, I hope you go home and read the book a couple of times before we meet again next Sunday night. And it's a great book. You know, we understand the book of Romans is the greatest book in the New Testament. John is probably right behind it. But Ephesians, if you had one, I think it'd be about third on my list. I always tell my kids, you're third on my list, you're second on my list. Y'all don't do that with your kids? My wife's number one, kid number two, kid number three. But don't necessarily mean in the order in which they were born. Am I? But Ephesians is a great book. And because it covers how you can live that victorious Christian life. How you can go to the next level in your Christian life. And as Christians, we shouldn't be satisfied where we're at. I've preached that over and over again throughout the years. We, myself included, should never be satisfied in our Christian life with where we're at spiritually. We should always be going forward. By the way, you're either going forward or you're going backwards. There's no in between. And so Paul is again covering this our inheritance in Christ. Verses chapters 1 through 3 deal with the wealth we have in Christ, that God has given us all the tools we need as born-again believers to live the Christian life. Jesus said, "Be holy, for I am holy." That is command, and therefore if He commanded it, then He has to give us the resources in order to fulfill that command. And He has done so. We have that ability through the Holy Spirit to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our goal. And so the first three chapters deal with the doctrinal aspects of living the Christian life. It deals with our wealth we have in Christ. Whereas the last three chapters, chapters 4 through 6, deal with the practical aspects. In other words, here's what you should do, how you should live. Now go do it. Amen. Be ye doers of the Word. And he covers that. So now he's dealing with our walk in Christ. The first three chapters, our wealth in Christ. The last three chapters, our walk in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us to walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. And again, how do we do that? By being lowly and meek and forbearing and loving and kind and endeavoring to keep the unity of peace in the midst of our church family. Amen? It takes work, by the way. Just as in a marriage, it takes work to keep peace in the household. It takes some disciplining of children. Take some communication between husband and wife. So it does in the church as well. It takes work to keep that unity and to keep everybody on the same page. And we do so by building up each other by the use of our gifts. That's verses 7 through 16. We're to use our gifts to edify the body of Christ. Whatever gift. We enjoyed the music tonight. Brother Cook knows that's my favorite song that he sings. I love that song. And he could sing it every Sunday. It wouldn't matter to me at all. It's kind of like the song that Brother Jantz sings, "I'm Crucified with Christ." I can listen to it every Sunday. And using your gifts in the body to build the body up. You Sunday school teachers and children's church workers and Pastor the Pirate Choir and on down through Masters Clubs. Everybody using their gifts to build the body, to build up the body, to encourage each other and build them up in their spiritual walk. These are the things that we are encouraged to do by Paul in this greater Christian life. We're encouraged in the next few verses in chapter 4 to put on the new man. Take off the old man, put on the new man. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are become the partaker of the divine nature of God. The Holy Spirit abides in us. And we're to live different, act different, smell different. We're to be different as Christians. And because we've taken off the old man and put on the new. Verse 32 of chapter 4 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I told you last Sunday night, that can only be accomplished. That can only be accomplished through the help of the Holy Spirit. The only way that you're going to fulfill that particular Scripture is through the Holy Spirit. Now, last Sunday we talked about that we are to be imitators of God. In verse 1 of chapter 5, be therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. How? By walking in love. By being selfless. By being selfless, by treating others as you would want to be treated. And we're not to be involved in those other things it speaks of there. But be ye not therefore partakers with them, not to hang around that crowd and so forth. And there are many professors. There are many who profess to be Christians, but their lives do not show it. And they are mere professors and not possessors. Many will say when they get to heaven, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Wasn't I a deacon? Wasn't I this? Wasn't I that? Wasn't I a Sunday school teacher? Didn't I do this for you? And he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Amen. There's going to be many, the Bible says, that will do that. So we're to walk in love. Now tonight we see that we're to walk in the light. We're to walk as children of the light. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Notice it says some didn't say in darkness. We're not in darkness. We were sometimes darkness before we got saved. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Hope you underline that little phrase. You are to underline walk in love there in verse 1 and in verse 8. Verse 2, I'm sorry. In verse 8, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You might want to write out beside there, if you don't have a study Bible, if you have a regular Bible that doesn't give you the reference there. That's a reference to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Paul is summarizing or giving a paraphrase of that particular Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. Help us tonight to again see these practical truths that we can apply to our own hearts. Help us to be doers of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Light. Walk as children of the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. We are supposed to let this little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. We're to be lights in the world. Why? That they may see our good works. And in seeing our good works, they may glorify God which is in heaven. By seeing our life, our character, our conduct, they might see that light and glorify the Lord. Light and darkness, of course, are opposites. If you were to walk from the dark as a lost person, we were in darkness. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, we walk in the light. We walk into the light. In other words, it's like walking into a room with a 1,000-watt light bulb, if they make one. Maybe they do. Just the light is on. By the way, I believe a person will know the light's on. It's either dark or it's light. John says that you might know that you have eternal life. I believe a person who's accepted Christ as their Savior is going to know it. And it's proved by the light. By the light. By the light of their own life. They know it. Because they just walked out of a dark room into a room with a 1,000-watt light bulb. There's a huge, vast difference. Amen. And so light and darkness do not mix. Light drives out the darkness. We've done that in here before. We've turned all the lights off in here and lit one candle. It's amazing what one little candle will do in a completely dark room, even a room this large. Light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. light drives out the darkness. And there's so much more here. In other words, light and darkness do not coexist. If you got light, you got light. We could have one little light in this room, one little candle, just a little flicker, and all of us could find our way to it. Isn't that amazing? Light. There's a right way, there's a wrong way. scripturally. There's right and wrong. Amen? Today they've, you know, again, our society's made things, you know, tried to make things very much gray, but the Bible is black and white. Right and wrong. Black and white. Truth and false. Light and darkness. That's the way the Bible describes it. As we, when we accept Christ as our Savior, there's a change in conduct. For you were sometimes darkness. Dark. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And that light produces fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Light produces fruit. That word goodness means love in action. Love in action. Again, we think about the word charity. Love in action. A Christian is going to show forth goodness. That's a part of that light that's shining in us. Love in action. Treating others as we would want to be treated. No matter who they are, what status, social status they are, no matter what they look like or how they smell, we're to love them. Amen. Amen. We've reiterated this before a couple of weeks ago, but Jesus says, love your enemies. The fruit that will be displayed in our life because of the light that we receive from the Lord is that of goodness. And that is, again, loving others. Loving others. Not just saying it, but doing for them. Right? Love in action. We can say we love somebody all day long, but it's meaningless unless we back it up with our actions. And y'all have heard me repeat 1,000 times, love is felt for a child from a parent. Love is felt T-I-M-E. Time. Our kids want our time. That's the way we prove our love. By the way, we don't prove our love to our children by what we give them. I'm talking about monetarily speaking. Lots of parents have spoiled their kids with monetary things and wound up with kids who are heathens. Right? It's not that. You give them time and it'll come back and bless you. The Bible says when you're old, your children will call you blessed. Can I say again that children were meant to be a blessing and not a curse? Amen. Hello, teenagers. You're to be a blessing. Amen. All these teenagers do this right here. I love this Ephesians stuff because I can talk to the teenagers a lot. It applies to the adults absolutely, but man, we can get the teenagers right there. It's like a little bullseye, you know, I can just point it right on them. The Bible's good, isn't it? But love. Love in action. So this light is going to produce fruit, the fruit of goodness, that love in action. Righteousness. Righteousness in this context means rightness of character before God. And like this one too. And rightness of action before men. Righteousness means rightness of character before God, that we live a life before God that is pleasing to Him, but also we live a life before our fellow man that's pleasing to Him. That we show that light. That we show righteous actions to those around us. That we understand what righteousness means. The simple definition is right living. That we live right around those whom we come in contact with. Whatever it may be. These are tough messages, by the way. Righteousness. That covers everybody. That we're to live righteously. And then lastly, it says the fruit that it will produce. And we can go over the fruits of the Spirit and cover those too, because they are included in this. But the three examples he gives is truth as well. Truth. And that is conformity to the Word and the will of God. Conformity to truth. This is truth. Thy Word is truth. And we are to conform to this. It's kind of like our politicians trying to conform society today. Or, I'm sorry, conform what is our founding document called? There you go. It's kind of like our politicians today trying to take the Constitution. I'm telling you, my mind has been weird places today, hasn't it? I mean, it's normally really weird anyway, but today it's been unbelievable. But our politicians today have tried to take the Constitution and conform it to society. That's not the way it's supposed to work. No way. Society is to conform. I'm talking about our laws and our so are to conform to the Constitution, not vice versa. You don't. The Constitution isn't pliable. You don't play with it to make it fit the situation. Amen. If you disagree, you're wrong. The Bible is not pliable. You don't take the Bible and fit it to your situation. The Word is truth. We're to conform. Truth is to conform to the Word of God. You conform to this. I conform to this. And we don't apply it, make it pliable. Our society today, and most, and I know I say this a lot, but most churches today are just taking the Word of God and making it pliable to society. They are, absolutely. Preachers don't stand up and preach on sin anymore for the most part. They don't. They want to make everybody feel good and let's go home. I'm for encouragement. I think the pastor, the shepherd of the flock, should be encouraging to his flock, and certainly, hopefully, I do enough of that when the Lord lays upon my heart. But there are times when there's time for your toes to get stepped on. And let me repeat to you that are here tonight. Listen, if your toes don't get stepped on at our church every once in a while, I haven't done my job. The Bible says that we're to preach, that I'm to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. If I'm not reproving and rebuking, I'm not preaching. That's what the Bible says. A pastor gives up and just gives a little ditty is not preaching according to the Word of God. We're to conform to truth, and thy word is truth. We're to conform to this. Teenagers, you're to conform to this. Conform to the Word of God. By the way, conform to the will of God. This is not my life. This life is the Lord's. What does He want to do with it? And I'm conformed to His will. Lord, whatever You want, I yield to You. What do You want with my life? Lord, I give it to You. Walk as children of the light. How? By showing goodness. By showing love to others. Not just in word, but in deed. To our neighbor, to our friends. Giving that cup of cool water in the Lord's name. Amen? It's about being good to others. It's about being righteous. Living righteously in front of others. Living right. Doing right. And conforming to truth. Verse 10 is a tough one now. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I should take everything in my life, set it beside the Lord Jesus Christ and say, what would Jesus do with this? Amen. Everything in my life should be proved by way of the Holy Spirit. Light exposes what is wrong. As I think about this reproof, I think about what is acceptable to God. What is acceptable to the Lord? Does the Lord approve of this? Would the Lord approve of this? Let me tell you again that Christianity is not a religion, a set of rules. That's what religion means, a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that I mean we are to please Him. And He gives that relationship to us, right? In every situation, we're to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Right, amen. Every situation I'm in, everything that I'm invited to, would going to a bar please the Lord? No. Therefore, I don't go to a bar. Amen? Would going to a liquor store please the Lord unless you're going there because you're starving and you want to find a candy bar? I told y'all here a while back, I've only been in a liquor store one time. And I'm telling you, me and Brother Wiggins were dying. But he's proof I didn't buy anything bad. Only store on the lake open. It was terrible. I'm glad nobody took a picture. But I had to tell him myself. But no, you know, those things aren't pleasing to God. He would not approve of those things. As I sit down in front of the one-eyed monster, you know, is what I'm watching, would the Lord approve of that? I'm not, you know, there's some preachers that I know stand up and say, you know, get the TV out of your TV, you know, TV out of the home. It's the devil. It's not the devil. It's how you use it that makes it the devil or not. Amen. You know, was what I'm watching, would the Lord approve of what I'm watching? Would the Lord approve of what I'm saying? And y'all have heard all this time, but that's what this verse is saying. Is it approve of the Lord? Hello? No, I will not paint His trailer pink, I promise. Is that what you... Yeah. We are proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable. And I could stay on this point forever. You know I could. Listen, as Christians, we're to live righteously, right living in front of them. We're to be a light to those around us. And the way we define how to do that is by whether or not what we're doing would be acceptable to the Lord. I said last Sunday night, we're to be imitators of God. Live your life as though Christ was standing right beside you. That will clear all things up. It's not gray, it's black and white when you're dealing with the Lord. Amen. You know, would the Lord be pleased with missing Sunday night services? I know they're not here, but, you know, would He? I mean, that's a good question. Very easy answer. No. Amen. Maybe they'll listen to it on the internet. What is verse 11 and verse 12? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. We are to take a firm stance against the works of darkness. By the way, it says, reprove them. Here's the problem with Christianity, at least in my day and age, our day and age, is that we have been silent where we should have spoke up. We're to not just stand firm, but we're to reprove them. When the government tries to condone homosexuality and homosexual marriages and things, we are to speak up. Again, I think I always like to address by saying God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin, and that homosexuality is a sin, and we ought to not only stand firm, but speak out. I'm telling you, we as Christians, and I've been guilty as well, we have laid silent way too long. The Bible never said that Christians are supposed to get over in a corner and whatever the world does, just let it go on. No. Jesus came out and He said, you bunch of vipers, you bunch of snakes. He wasn't hesitant in pointing out sin of others. In fact, I'll show you a verse in a minute. That's why they hated Him. One of the reasons why they hated Him. John the Baptist spoke up. He called them a bunch of serpents, a bunch of snakes, a bunch of vipers, and so forth. Listen, we ought to speak up. Reprove them. Don't sit idly by and let darkness, if you would, overwhelm our country. Let's speak up. Go vote in November. Vote for the party that stands by the Word of God. By the way, you only have one to choose from. I'm sorry. I know that's political tonight, but you have one to choose from and maybe some independents. But that's how you vote. You don't vote by your pocketbook. You vote by whether or not that politician holds to this. Period. That's what would be proving, well, pleasing the Lord. Amen. Now I'm speaking up. Amen. I think I ought to speak up a little more. And without, you know, getting righteous anger going on. Amen. But reprove. Don't sit idly by and just let this stuff, man, let's at least say, hey, we gave it our best shot. Man, we stood up. We reproved. We spoke out. Let's say something. When they, and I've never gone to Tarleton, some people in here have, but when they tried to have that play down in Tarleton, first time I've ever emailed anybody like that, I emailed them. I did. I said, listen, my kids will never go to your school. And I don't know if they ever would or not, but they're not cowboys. But, you know, maybe they would. It's a close school. It's close here. I don't know. My kids will never go to your school if you put that play on. Of course, they backed out of it, made some excuses. But they were going to put on a play about making Jesus a homosexual, that whatever it's called. And so, but you see that stuff going on? Speak out. Email's easy. Email somebody. Speak out. Amen. That's what it says. It's proving what is settled in the Lord. And they have no fellowship with unfruitful works of us, but rather reprove them. Speak out. Speak out. John the Baptist spoke out against Herod. Some of y'all will remember this in the Bible, and I don't want to go read it. We take too much time. But John the Baptist came to Herod and said, paraphrasing here. You're terrible. You took the wife of your brother as your own wife. Herod the Great died, and Philip, the son, was supposed to become the king, or was supposed to take the throne. At the last minute, the way I understand history, Herod the Great changed his mind because Philip actually was a good man. And instead he let Herod, we'll call him the second, have the power and position. Well, Philip's wife, Herodias, thought he was going to be the king. That's why he married her, married him. And when he wasn't the king, Herodias made advances towards the other brother because he was the king. And they got together. And John the Baptist pointed it out. He said, it's wrong for you to have your brother's wife. By the way, 10 months later, it cost John the Baptist his head. But he spoke out. He spoke up. He reproved. Let's just don't sit around idly while these things going on around us. Regardless of the consequences, we must not compromise with what is done in darkness. And then it goes on to say, it's a shame to even speak of the things that they do in darkness. For it's a shame to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. And we have become very flippant about immorality, even as Christians. I'm amazed that y'all get those little flyers in the mail, you know, from other churches. And some of the titles of those messages are unbelievable. Come learn about how to have intimacy. I mean, that's on the flyer of a church. And they use the other word. Amen. And I say it a few times in the pulpit, but I always try to guard against it. If I use it, I use it in emphasizing. But, man, we need to be careful how we talk about the things that are done in secret. Amen? We ought to be very choice with our words and how we talk about these things. And again, it goes back to telling dirty jokes and doing those things. Man, we need to be careful. We shouldn't even talk about those things in secret. By the way, we shouldn't be watching those things that being talked about in secret. Right? Told you these are tough. Verse 13. But we're to walk in light. And before I get there, walking in light exposes the things that are in the dark. Jesus said in John 12, I am the light of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. I want you to turn to one verse that I told you I'd let you see. And this would be a good verse for you to underline. John 15 and verse 22. Let's start at verse 18. Again, talking about reproving. Reproving. John chapter 15 and verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Listen to this one. If I had not come and spoken unto them, talking about the religious leaders and those of that day, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He says they have no cloak. Jesus exposed their sins. And one of the reasons why they hated him was because he did just that. Light dispels darkness. Light exposes those things which are done in the dark. Jesus exposed those things that were done. Jesus, because he exposed them and their sin, was hated by them. Listen, Christian, tonight, you live right and do right. There'll be people who mock you, call you Christian boy or do-gooder or whatever. I mean, I know that today we don't have to worry about maybe necessarily somebody killing us. That's not true. Maybe even set up a car bomb out in front of our house or something. But there's still a lot of persecution going on. It may cost you that raise or may cost, no telling. Verse back to Ephesians again. Look with me in verses 13 and 14 and we're done. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You ever turned on the light and got just a little glimpse of something crawling on the floor? We've lived in some houses that were like that. The houses over at Lakeland were that way. We were constantly dealing with water bugs and roaches at, at that church, and the two houses the church owned were just, you know, we constantly, every month or two, had to have somebody come out and spray them, and man, you turn the light on, you know. Boy, I tell you what, you know, let light expose us the things that are done in the dark. Light exposes. But all things are reproved and made manifest by the light. Take the light and shine on it. It will make manifest. Manifested by the light. The light manifests our lives and the lives of others. In other words, the light that we have, that light that God gave us when we accepted Christ as our Savior, makes manifest those things in our own life when we do wrong. Right? It exposes the sin in our own lives. But not only does it do that, but it exposes the sin of those around us. If you are living right and living righteously, walking in the light, then again it will expose those around. Just as John the Baptist exposed it, now he was reproving, and Jesus, living the life that he lived, exposed the sin around him, so will you. There'll be people who persecute you and talk about you and make fun of you because they are under conviction. Because the light that you display has shown them their sin. Amen. Amen. You wonder why some people get so upset when we talk about against homosexuality and against many of these other sins that are going on and are being accepted in our society today. And when we talk about them, we're persecuted for it. But when they talk bad about us and the things we believe, that's accepted. It's unbelievable how it's just what's goose for the good for the goose is good for the gay. It's not so. Right? That's because we expose their sin. And they're under conviction. You can talk about sin all day long and not get under conviction. I'm talking about a lost person can. So they can get by with it. They can talk about it and do everything they want. Because we expose it, it brings conviction. Every person who's born in this world is born with, if you would, a speck of light, if you would. Jesus, John chapter 1 says, all those who are born in this world are born with light. Alright? That means a conscience. Everybody's born with a conscience. We are not animals. Right? Animals have no conscience. We have a conscience that was given to us by our Creator. Romans chapter 1 says, the law was stamped upon every heart that's born. But that conscience is warped as a person grows up. It becomes warped. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, that's when that conscience is renewed. Made anew, amen? But so, what I'm saying is this, when we expose their sin because of the way we live, they have a conscience and therefore they become convicted by it. Because in their heart of hearts, because of the law that's been written upon their heart, they know it's wrong. Why do you think they're so, adamant about teaching evolution to our children? Because they don't want to be accountable to their Creator. Light exposes that. Again, we see in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paraphrasing Isaiah 60, basically saying, we have been given new life in Christ. We have been given light. It is as if we have been raised from the dead. Right? Ephesians says, ye have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We were made alive. Again, the previous chapter talks about we have been to walk, put off the old man, put on the new man. We're to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6 says. Let me just again remind you, every day is a new day for the Christian. That we are renewed, we are transformed, we are renewed day by day. You get up in the morning, take up thy cross daily and follow me, he said. Christianity is not a yearly process, not a monthly process, not a weekly process. It's a daily process. Every day you get to wake up when you're living right, ask for forgiveness, and start the day brand new before the Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Old Lazarus, Jesus said, come forth, Lazarus! He came forth. Came out with those grave clothes on. He said, loose him. Take those grave clothes off. Many of us as Christians are still bound up in those grave clothes. That old man. The old clothes. And take off the old clothes and put on the new. Every day. Every day. Let's walk in the light. As we walk in the light, absolutely it exposes our own life of sin. As we walk in the light, it exposes the sin around us. And there will be persecution because of that. Our life should reflect the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Light exposes darkness. Persecution and conviction will come by way of this light. Wake up. Get out of your doldrums. Christ has given you new life. Now let's share the light with somebody this week. Amen. Let's tell somebody about the Lord. Everybody needs the light. Amen. Let's all stand.